The word today is prayer. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. God answers all of our prayers. He wants us to come to Him with our requests and concerns, as well as our praise and thanksgiving. Hear from our archives, using biblical principles to help us grow in our understanding of prayer, is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Prayer.
I'm going to be speaking about prayer today, in particular prayer that is so fervent and so sincere that God seems to answer it very directly and almost immediately. Now be careful here. I'm not trying to say that prayer is always going to be answered immediately and in a way that we can detect. I think a lot of times we need to be aware that sometimes God says no to our prayers. And sometimes, in fact, very often I discover in my life, He'll say, wait just a little bit, be patient, wait upon the Lord. He is going to answer you, but maybe in His timing and not in your timing. But the verse I want you to focus on today, on this discussion on prayer, is found in James, the 5th chapter, verse 16. James 5, verse 16. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, that's a promise from God Himself that we can be certain that when we are sincere in our prayer life, and of course that's the first thing you have to be aware of, that you really believe, that you really trust God, that you know He's hearing you, and that you're aware that He wants to answer you and that He's able to answer you, and that you turn things over to Him according to His will. Not that you're trying to tell God what your will is, but you're asking that His will be done in your life. Why don't we, first of all, think of a few cases like this. Let's think of Abraham in the Old Testament. You remember Abraham was in a situation where he knew God was getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham was troubled by this, and he began to pray, and he said, "Oh God, please, will you please spare Sodom and Gomorrah? Yes, I know they're evil cities, and I know that they are violating your holy will, and that they need to have the discipline that you could bring them, and I know all this, God, but please, have mercy if there are 50 people there that believe in you and trust in you, yet please spare Sodom and Gomorrah if there are just 50 people there yet." Well, you recall that God, in dialogue with Abraham, points out, you know what, Abraham? There aren't even 50 righteous people there. There really aren't. In that whole population, and just think of these two cities, there weren't 50 true believers among them. And yet Abraham is very fervent, and he continues to pray. And he says, "Well, I'll tell you what, God, how about 45? Would you spare them if there are 45? Now you can just see the heart of Abraham pleading with God, and Abraham is shocked, no doubt, to have God come back and point out, you know what? There aren't even 45 righteous people there. There are not even 45 people there that are living to the glory of God. They're all living in sin. They're all rebelling against God." And so Abraham continues to pray. And he prays again more earnestly and with more fervency. And he says, "How about it, God, if there are 30, maybe there are 30, would you spare Sodom and Gomorrah if there are 30? And you recall how this process continues. Finally, Abraham says, "How about 20, God? Would you spare those two cities if there are at least 20 righteous people there who love you and are following your ways?" He is, of course, shocked and dismayed to find out that there aren't even 20. He ends up saying, "God, please, God, if there are 10, if there are just 10, would you please spare these cities?" You remember how Lot then, and his wife and family finally are told, all right, get out of town. God is going to destroy these cities now. And you remember how they were warned, don't even look back. Don't even look back. And yet Lot's wife, you know, so tempted. She just thought, well, I'll just take a little peek. And she turns back to see the devastation. And immediately she is turned into a pillar of salt. You know, one of the interesting things, of course, now that account happened many, many thousands of years ago. And as a result, any pillar of salt there that would be the case of Lot's wife has long since been gone by time and the wind and erosion and so on. But it's interesting that even today, as a matter of fact, 2 years ago, I was on the east side of the Dead Sea, the east side of the Dead Sea. Down at the eastern end of the Dead Sea, the southeastern end of the Dead Sea, they believe that's the logical place underneath the water there that the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah are. As a matter of fact, that entire area, I spent some time looking around there, and there's so much sulfur and salt and basalt, which is a lava that comes from volcanoes. I believe that the fire and brimstone that God rained down upon those two cities to destroy them was volcanic ash. I believe that God either created a volcano, or if there was one there, he caused it to become active, and they blew their lid, so to speak, and the volcanoes covered those cities and totally destroyed them. And you can still see in that region all of that, I call it basalt, I don't know what the technical word is, but you can still see all of that there. God wiped out those two cities, and they're really not in existence today. So the fervent prayer of Lot, that's the point I was trying to make, ended up saving a few people anyway. And God listened to Lot's prayer. Take another incident in the Old Testament. Take the midnight encounter that Jacob had with an angel. Do you remember that situation? This was on the shores of the Jabbok, J-A-B-B-O-K, Jabbok River, as a matter of fact, in the valley there. Now, it's been 20 years since Jacob had deceived his dying father, Isaac. You remember how he tried to cheat to get the birthright and how he, all the trickery in him. Well, those things were past, and now Jacob is in this region, and he has had his brother Esau that he had deceived and tried to cheat out of his birthright. His brother Esau had amassed an army, quite a sizable army, 400 people, the Bible says he had, and he was coming after Jacob. He was disgusted with his brother. And so Esau very fervently prayed to God, and he ended up wrestling someone that he thought was a human being, a warrior of some sort. He didn't know it was an angel until later, and he's wrestling pretty hard. He wrestles all night. He must have been a pretty good athlete, because you recall the angel pokes his hip and dislocates his hip, and even then he keeps wrestling. He keeps going. And it wasn't until almost morning, so to speak, that Jacob feels all his loneliness, and he's now totally wrestling with this angel, even with his thigh out of joint, that he keeps pleading, pleading, pleading. And finally, when he finds out the true situation, he says, I won't let you go. I won't let you go unless you bless me, unless you bless me. Now just think of that, a fervent night of prayer, wrestling with an angel, and this angel was in disguise at first, and then how when he finds out that God is intervening in this situation, how he then pleads for a blessing, and the blessing, of course, ends up being that Esau does not decide to kill his brother Jacob, and in fact, becomes reconciled to him. So you have, once again, a prayer that was very fervent, and that God listened to and answered very directly. Well, take the Syrophoenician mother. Do you remember how God, how Jesus, true God, when he was here on earth in the form of man, listened to that woman crying out for help? She wanted help for her daughter. And Jesus treats her silently. He doesn't answer her. That's almost a rebuff, isn't it? That's almost like saying, I don't need to listen to you. And then when he does answer her, you'll have to reread that account in the New Testament. Jesus says to her, now I've been sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I have come to save the Jews. And you remember how he points out to her, you really aren't from that group. You're a foreigner. You're a Phoenician. And you really shouldn't expect these blessings. And then how she, in her fervent prayer, comes back earnestly to Jesus and says, yes, Lord, that's true. But even dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. Even though you are bringing the Jews all these wonderful blessings and they're really for them, aren't there some crumbs, aren't there some leftovers that fall to the ground? Even those I would be pleased with, even those I would be happy with. Please, Lord, bless me. Please, Lord, bless me. I don't expect to be treated like the Jews. I don't expect to have your uppermost blessings. But please, Lord, can't you do something for me? Can't you please help me and answer my fervent prayer? And you recall how Jesus listens to her and heals her daughter. What a marvelous illustration then again of prayer. Now we've used Abraham, Jacob, and this Syrophoenician woman as illustrations. You can go all the way through the scripture and find many more illustrations of how God listens and answers fervent prayer. Please, when you pray, pray sincerely. Pray in faith and pray in the name of Jesus, God's own Son. And he will hear your prayers and he will answer in his time and in his way. Be certain of it. Be positively convinced God will hear your prayers and he will answer them and bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org. to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.